Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 296 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, we combine the best of both worlds. The local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, well, we're going to focus on the boys' basketball postseason tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Bob Fontana. But right now, my first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny squad, and he has guided the Hawks to a 10-11 record thus far. He is Brant Carlson. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks again for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you missed your team's regular season finale last Thursday due to an illness. Are you feeling better this week?
I think better is a good word. Not perfect, but much better, and appreciate that. And, yeah, not fun to miss a game. It's my first one ever as a head coach, and it just wasn't a good feeling to let our guys down like that, but life does happen, and a new start here with the postseason.
Well, I know there's been a lot of stuff going around this winter. I've been lucky to avoid all of it thus far, so I guess it catches up with everybody every once in a while, huh?
It does. You better knock on some serious wood here soon, but yeah, it is going around, and our school is filled with it, so it's tough.
Well, your team has had an interesting season. You've never been more than two games above or below the 500 mark, and you're coming into the postseason on the heels of a three-game losing skid, and that's the first time all year that you've won or lost more than two games in a row. You know, would it be fair to say this has been an up-and-down season for you guys?
Yeah, it's up and down. I mean, it's just been difficult. I don't know what else to say. We've been really, for the most part, injury-free, but, you know, you're not free from the rigors of the teams that we're playing, and they're really, really tough, and they make it hard on you. So I think that at the end of the day, you have to give them a lot of credit, and our guys have really battled hard and been really fun to coach, but sometimes it's just been really on the short end of a stick, and especially the last three, just some tough ways to go there, especially at Irvindale. That was a tough one, but yeah, at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, it all prepares you for something, whether it's this year, whether it's the future for younger guys. I mean, you got to take every opportunity to learn from it, and myself included, and try to get better.
Well, yeah, two of the teams that you beat on the road earlier in the season, Southeast Polk and Dowling, came back to beat you on your home court. Mm-hmm. And it was Dowling's 66-43 win 2 weeks ago that started your current three-game skid. Yeah. And then, like you mentioned, you guys followed that game with a tough 62-61 loss at Urbandale. Mm-hmm. A week later, the Jayhawks kind of rallied there for the win in the last few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then your team dropped that 90-52 decision at fourth-ranked Waukee Northwest last Thursday when you weren't there to close out the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, that's really not an ideal way to go into the postseason.
No.
You know, but have you guys had a chance to regroup here over the last several days?
I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, whether you had a tremendous regular season or one that, you know, you didn't like as much. I mean, I think you know, everybody starts at 0-0, and that's the way you have to approach it. You know, you can say all you want, but you have to approach it that way. Otherwise, your season's going to end very quickly. So I hope they have, you know, in a sense, forgotten about it, learn what they can from it, and then you got to go pursue and take the fight to the next team. I mean, that's kind of our motto right now, and just see how long you can make the season last.
Well, your team will now host Dallas Center Grimes in a Class 4A substate semifinal on Friday. The Mustangs advanced with a 77-42 win over Fort Dodge on Monday, and that raised their record to 18-5, and that was their 11th straight victory. Mm-hmm. You know, I assume you probably went over there to watch that game. DCG was 11 of 20 from three-point range. You know, so they really shot the lights out, didn't they?
Shot really well there. They played well Friday against Ballard. They've just played really well since their point guard came back from injury after the Ankeny Centennial game, and yeah, you got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, I think that ultimately for them, they are a bunch of senior dudes that really don't want to lose, and they've been in a lot of big games. Guys have played very well. They've went over and beat CBAL, and I mean, they're tough. Coach has been there a long time, so I mean, they're a prepared group, no doubt.
Of course, you guys won an earlier matchup at DCG, 50-48 on January 21st. Rio Aguirre scored 24 points to lead you guys, despite going just 6 of 18 from the field. Mm-hmm. And your team was able to overcome a 31% shooting to earn the win. Mm-hmm. DCG then suffered an 80-49 loss at Ankeny Centennial 3 nights later, but they haven't lost since. And like you mentioned, one of their wins was a 65-56 victory over Council Bluffs Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And that was just the second loss for the Lynx. You know, I mean, so they really seem to be playing their best ball of the year.
They're doing it. That's absolutely correct. So, you know, they got essentially to me three transfers, two guys from Northwest and a guy from Valley that have all played in big games the year before. So, I mean, they're a very seasoned group, point guard pairing, you know, played, I think, all 4 years. And they're just playing with a great amount of confidence right now, and I think that's the way you want, you know, for teams to do. But no better time to go at a team that's doing that, and hopefully make them question themselves a little bit. That's our goal.
Well, obviously, the key guy for them is Kyle Kaysen, the Valley transfer. He's averaging nearly 23 points per game. He had 20 points in the first meeting against you guys, but he did need 20 shots to do that.
Right.
You know, I assume you're going to have to run several defenders at him, you know, throughout the night, aren't you?
Well, I'm sure we'll do as many guys or use as many guys as we can. So, yeah, he's very tough, and he's won a lot of games, you know. And I think, again, when you've won a lot of games, you just act like it. And I think that's what he does, and he's very patient. He never comes off the floor, and he's just pretty resilient. So he's had a lot of success in a variety of ways. And, you know, at the end of the day, he'll be tough. I think, again, Perrin's very good. I think their younger Perrin, the freshman's very good, can shoot it. He scored 14, I think, against us the first time. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they got a very nice program and a lot of success over there.
Well, a couple of the big factors in that first game were the rebounding battle. You guys won that 35-25, and your team also only turned it over five times. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you feel like those numbers could be pretty important again on Friday.
They always are, and for us, we really concentrate on our free throw battle. Can we make more than they attempt? And it's about defending without fouling and rebounding, like you said, and just being fundamental and just pursuing the ball and then offensively trying to be efficient, get a shot every possession. In perfect world, that's what we'll try to do again. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. And at the end of the day, it's just trying to, again, just move every day, just try to get better and try to get into a flow. And we haven't played in a while now, it seems. And, you know, it'll be, what, eight days or something for us.
Right.
So that's just a little bit different approach.
Well, yeah, we saw last night with Iowa State's loss, you know, how injuries and illnesses can catch up to a team, you know, at this time of the year. And you said, you, for the most part, you guys have been healthy. But mm-hmm. So are you guys, you know, doing okay health-wise going into this
game? Yeah, I think for the most part. I mean, again, the sickness just hasn't gone from anybody, you know, from any program, any school. So it's, you're just a day away from not having a guy. But at the same time, we've been healthy physically as far as injury concerned, you know, so I feel good about that. And just love the fight of our team. And just, I'm just excited to go to battle again with them.
Well, I'm sure you saw where the three teams from your conference who had to play on Monday night, Centennial, Southeast Polk, and Urbandale, all posted impressive wins on the road. You know, so that means that all nine teams from the league are still alive in sub-state play.
Yeah.
And I know Coach Fontana told me that, you know, those results show just how tough the competition in your conference has been all year long. You know, you have to feel like your team is battle-tested and ready for just about anything that they'll see Friday night.
I would certainly hope so. I mean, at the same time, it's like it is a new game, but I do feel like, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, you've put your guys into every position they could possibly experience. And so now it's just go and play each possession and just go for it. And like I say, take the fight to them. Don't sit back and wait and figure it out. Just go take the fight to them.
Well, I know you can't look past Friday night, but the winner of your game will play either two-time defending champion Valley or Southeast Polk in the sub-state final on Tuesday. The Tigers defeated Southeast Polk twice by an average of about 30 points, so I'm guessing that they are likely to advance, and they would host the sub-state final. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first year that the highest remaining seed will host the sub-state final. Mm-hmm. You know, that could obviously work against you guys, but it could also help you, you know, if Valley would happen to get upset. Well, what did you think of that change from the IHSAA?
I was a fan of it. I think when you get the number one seed, I think you've earned that right, to be honest with you. I think it's hard to, you know, last year our game against Centennial, I mean, you're in an awkward place, you know, both teams, and there's no real advantage, you know, I think. So again, if you've earned the one seed, I think you deserve to play at home. I'm great with that. And whoever has to play at Valley, it's a tough sell no matter what. But, you know, at least we've been there before, and at least we've felt confident in our ability to do what we'd like to do against them, and it'd be a wonderful challenge. And it's one game at a time, though.
Well, yeah, Valley had a shocking loss at home, you know, to Johnston by 27 points mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, but they have recovered to win their last three games, including one against Waukee that wrapped up the outright conference title. Mm-hmm. You know, so they seem to have righted their ship.
Definitely. They're like I said last year, until someone beats them in postseason, they're the best team, no question about it. Johnston's a wonderful team, too. They just had a really rough stretch in the middle of the year, but they're a formidable team as well, so with a lot of great pieces. So it wouldn't shock me if seeing any CIML team, whoever makes state, would win it. I mean, I just think there's so many really talented players and teams, coaches, all that stuff, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about one specifically, because I know you're focused on your own team, but when you look at some of those other sub-state brackets, you know, it seems like there could be some really interesting sub-state final matchups. Mm-hmm. In sub-state four, you know, if Dowling can get past to Waterloo West on Friday, they would likely go to Linmar on Tuesday, and Linmar is a team that you guys defeated last month. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if the Maroons advanced to state, would you?
Not at all. I think Dowling in a sense, should beat them. I think they just are more battle-tested, and I think they could do it. No question about it. Waukee Northwest, obviously Valley, Waukee. I mean, you just name one. It wouldn't matter to me. And if there was an upset, too, I think that team could make some headway as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's going to be really fun, and I just excited to see how our league will be represented.
Well, yes, next week should be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll see you at the game on Friday. Good luck. I'll see you there.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Yep. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny, near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is a senior on the Centennial Boys Squad, and he's coming off a big game on Monday night up there at Sioux City North. He is Sean Tung. Sean, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, that was a big win that you guys had the other night. Obviously, you guys have had a tough season coming into that game, but how'd you guys approach the postseason? Did you guys just feel like you didn't have nothing to lose?
It's not that we had nothing to lose, but everything to gain is what we felt like in the locker room. It's win or go home, so we didn't want to go home. It's as simple as that. And I think I told my teammates too in the locker room, records don't matter now. It's postseason. Records don't mean anything. Any team's night.
Well, I know you told me after the game that it was a team effort, but you did have an incredible stat line. I think you had 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 steals. I don't remember the last time I saw a player have that kind of a stat line for Centennial. You were 2 of 8 from 3-point range, so I think you were like 10 of 12 inside the arc. So you must have been getting to the rim a lot, huh?
Yes, sir. My teammates were hitting me, and we had a couple plays with the high post, and they just hit me at the right times.
Well, I know Coach told me that you guys got off a little bit of a slow start. I think Sioux State North came down and hit three threes on their first three possessions and got up 9-0. I mean, Coach had to call a timeout. What was going through your mind at that point?
I was calm. We were all calm. Cap Klinger even said we're all fine right now. I mean, a lot of teams started off hot against us during the regular season, so it's nothing new to us, but it's just getting stops. It's simple as that, and rebounds. But they were shooting it very well. But I think that was their only three threes of the game, and then after that they didn't hit another three. So Fontana really made sure we had a hand up.
One, I know you guys came back and pulled within like 13-8 after the first quarter. Did you feel pretty good at that point?
Yes. We settled in. We were comfortable.
Well, then obviously you took like a 30-20 halftime lead. At that point, you had to feel pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, then, of course, you guys pulled away in the second half, ended up winning by 31. And I know the other night, Urbandale and Southeast Polk also had convincing wins on the road. I mean, do you guys feel like that just shows how strong your conference is? I mean, you guys were able to go out and beat these teams from around the state?
Yeah, so we have the toughest conference in the state. It's just a bunch of talented guys going at it.
Well, now you guys have a huge challenge. You have to go over to Waukee Northwest on Friday night, and that's a team you've already seen twice this year. You've lost to them twice. I mean, it's a huge challenge, isn't it?
Very huge. Yep. Yeah. But I think I believe in my teammates, and I believe in our coaching staff that we can get it done.
Well, I know in both those previous games, Northwest had like four players in double figures in both games, and it was like different guys in both games. I mean, there really isn't one guy that you can focus on, is there?
No, they can all score, all can shoot it, all can make plays. They got really good guards, really good post guys.
Well, I know you told me the other night that you guys have to rebound, because I think they out-rebounded you guys like 36-21
yes,
and 38-10 in those two games. And if you get out-rebounded like that, you're not going to win, are you?
Not at all. Second chance points, that's what makes a game.
What's going to be the key for you guys to be able to score against them? Because they have so much length on defense. I mean, they're tough to score against, aren't they?
Very tough to score against. It's just making the extra pass. That's the type of team that they have long closeouts. And if you got to hit the open guy against them. I mean, long arms, everything. So driving against them, you got to play off two and use pump fakes. You can't go up against those guys and expect to get an and one, because they play solid. They're 6'8", 6'9". So you just got to play off two and make the right pass.
Well, of course, you're a senior. You know, any game could be your last one. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that your high school career is almost over.
Went by really fast, actually. I was talking to my brother about it the other day. It's just weird knowing that's just no high school anymore after this.
Well, of course, you transfer here this year from Des Moines Christian. And I know you guys haven't had a great season record-wise, but have you enjoyed playing at Centennial?
Very much. I like all the teammates, like all the coaches. It's a really good culture that was really welcoming when I first came in, which I was surprised about, because transferring into the DMC, it was shaky at first. It's just like weird being the new kid, but they made me feel really welcomed here. But DMC obviously has a great coaching staff, great team, and I wish them the best too.
Well, Sean, I know you live out here at the Standard, so it's pretty convenient for you to come down here and join the podcast. So I appreciate the time tonight, and good luck on Friday night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, well, my last guest tonight is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys team. His squad opened postseason play on Monday with a 78-47 rout at Sioux City North in a Class 4A sub-state quarterfinal. The Jaguars improved to 5-16 on the season and will now play at fourth-ranked Waukee Northwest in a semifinal game on Friday. He is Bob Fontana. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Good to be here, and I'm doing all right. Just, one more practice to get ready for Friday night.
Well, yeah, I know your team has had a tough season, obviously, and that's why you had to play on Monday in the quarterfinal round, which I think might be the first time you've ever had to do that at Centennial. You know, but that was an impressive performance by your team, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, you never know what to expect after a three-hour road trip, and what we did is, we left a little bit early, and we went to Sioux City East High School, and did I know their coach real well, so we did our final walkthrough and shoot around, and then we got back on the bus and went over to North. So very thankful that we had that opportunity, and I was a little concerned the way we came out, because we came out a little slow, get down 9-0 in the first three possessions of the game.
Well, yeah, that can be hard to come back from, a start like that. And you said you called a timeout and got some things straightened out, and then you just chipped away at the lead. So what was your message to the team?
Well, just, you know what, they had two guys that averaged 20 and 15, and both shoot the three at a high volume, and both of them hunt their shot. And we lost the first one, we lost him, you know, in that set. And then they ran a second possession, and he hit another one. And then the third, the other guy, the thing bounced around up and down on the rim about four times and fell in. And I called a timeout, and I was like, okay, guys, we need to make sure we're getting in their chest, make them go to their weak hand and not give them any space. And we did a really good job of that, because they didn't hit a three rest of the game.
Well, you had so many players step up for you, and nobody stepped up more than Sean Tonks, who was just here on the podcast. He finished with 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 6 steals. And I know Luke Winkle had some higher scoring games, you know, during his career, but I don't know if you've ever had a guy with a stat line like that. Those are some pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, they were. And you know what? As the game went on, he just kept doing a good job of scoring at the rim and hitting some pull-up jump shots. He hit a couple threes, and then he was doing a really good job of rebounding on the defensive end. And then obviously he caught their attention, but then he made some really good passes to his teammates, cutting to the basket, which was big. And obviously he was very active on defense.
Well, yeah, I talked about this with him, but yeah, he was 10 of 12 from inside the arc. So yeah, he must've really been getting to the rim, you know, ahead of the defense, huh?
Well, he was. And what helped is our defense created our offense when we got some transition looks, and he was the beneficiary of some of those finishes on the other end.
Like you said, it wasn't just him that night. It was the whole team that was clicking. The guys were sharing the ball, you know, and everybody was knocking down shots. Luke Mitchell was a perfect 6 of 6 from the field. He scored a career-high 12 points. Rex Jensen also had a career-high 12 points. He was 2 of 5 from deep. Cab Klingner had 8.7 rebounds and 6 assists. And Caden Clark also had 8 points. And you told me they had a really good, four game at both ends of the court. You know, so it really was a team effort.
It was. I thought our starting five did a really good job of playing together. And it was credit to them how they settled in after that, you know, getting down 9-0, and we outscored them, you know, 30-11 rest away, and then we just, you know, kept chipping away and went about our business in a workmanlike fashion in the third quarter, and you know, then we went up by 23 at the end of the third. And so,
well, now your team faces a huge challenge. You have to go to fourth-ranked Waukee Northwest for a semifinal game on Friday. The Wolves are 19-3, and they've won 9 straight games, including a 90-61 win over your old team, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, on February 8th. You know, they're just really clicking on all cylinders, aren't they?
Well, they are. And I mean, when you have basically got 4 Division I basketball players in your starting lineup, and then you have two Division I football players that are there, you know, round out their starting five and their first sub off the bench. And you get 6 athletes like that, and 4 of them are pure basketball players. I mean, that's a heck of a squad, you know. So we know we got our work cut out for us, and we know, you know, what we have to do. You can be in a tight game with them, and then you look up 2-3 minutes later and you're down by 15, 20 points, and you're going, what the heck just happened?
Well, yeah, you guys opened the season with a 60-38 loss to them on December 3rd, and then the Wolves won the rematch on their home court, 77-36 on January 10th. Northwest won the rebounding battle in both of those games by margins of 36-21 and 38-10. And Sean told me the other night, you know, that you guys just have to rebound better than that. If you lose the battle of the boards like that, you just have no chance.
Well,
do you?
No, and you know, the game over there, we were down by 9 with like 2.5 minutes, 2:50, something like that, to go in the second quarter. So, you know, you're like, okay, let's just, you know, hang around. And next thing you know, they just go on a run the last 2.5 to 250 of the first half, and you're down by 20 at half. And then they came out right away, and in about 3 minutes, we were down by like 26, 27. You're like, whoa. But, yeah, we've got to do a really good job of rebounding and defensive transition. Those are going to be the two biggest keys, getting back on defense, forcing them to set up, and then, you know, we got to rebound. And the other thing, too, part of your defensive transition is you got to take care of the ball, not have live ball turnovers against them, because they run very, very well. So,
yeah, I was looking at the stats from those two games today too, and Northwest had four players in double figures in both games, and it was different guys, you know, doing the damage for them. Bodie Goodman had 19 points in the first meeting. Landon Davis nearly had a triple double, and then in the other game it was Peyton McCollum who led the way with 18 points. So it's not like you can focus on one or two guys, is it?
No, you have to get locked in on defense and get your defense set, and it's got to be team defense. It can't be like you got to focus on one or two guys.
Well, I know you're focused on your own team, but when you look at some of the other sub-state brackets, it seems like there could be some really interesting matchups in the sub-state finals. In the girls' regional finals last night, all the top teams in Class 5A ended up making it to state, but it seems like there could be some surprising teams that make it to the boys' tournament, and you guys would certainly be surprised if you can get there. Do you think there might be some unexpected teams that make it to Wells Fargo?
I tell you what, you look at our league, and if you look at, if I can talk for a second about our league, about look at our league's record in non-conference games. And I mean, from top to bottom, I know that we have not won a lot of games, but you look at some of these other leagues and some of the teams that we've beat that have 10, 11, 12 wins and beat them handily.
Well, you beat DCJ and they had 18 wins, yeah.
Yeah, and we beat them by 31. And, the other night we won by 31 and we beat Lincoln by 30. And all those teams have double-digit wins. And I'm not disrespecting them. They can't help what league they're in. But that shows you the strength of our league. You asked about sub-states. That Johnston Ames sub-state, that could be an interesting one because those – Ames is really, really good defensively. They're long. Their guards keep you in front of them. They pressure the ball well. And then Johnston, they seems to be clicking now because, going into the season, I thought they were one of the most talented teams in the league. And I think, the other night was a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, they beat Valley by 27.
Right, yeah.
On Valley's home floor.
Right.
Yeah, so, that Johnston Ames will be an interesting one. I think the other one now, Waterloo West, who we were supposed to play two Saturdays ago, and then we got weathered out. But they seem to be clicking, and they got a guy that's a post guy coming into our game. He was averaging about 11 points and 7 rebounds a game. And his name's Joe Hudson. If you look what he's done the last three games, he's had like 31 and 16 boards, and the other night he had 29 points and like 12 boards. I mean. And that he's not their leading scorer, but I tell you what, that I don't think that'll be an easy game for Dowling. And then in that sub-state, I'm trying to remember who's...
Well, Linmar's the top seed.
Oh, yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. The way Dowling's been playing, too, that I wouldn't be surprised if they get Linmar. I think that if Ankeny's knocking down shots at Ankeny-DCG game, could be a high-scoring game, possibly. And whoever wins that, Valley better be ready. Valley's got the athletes. It seems like they can just go over to the wall and flip the switch and go, okay, we've had enough of it. So, and then, the Waukee AL Council Bluffs will be interesting. When AL beat them by 1 or 2 points, Jacobson didn't play because he was hurt. So I think, that's a big factor there.
And then, oh, sure.
And you go out east. I think that Kennedy's got. I won't say there's an automatic route, but I think they got a fairly easy route. Interesting one could be the Cedar Rapids Prairie Dubuque Senior one too. Prairie's playing really well, and they beat Senior just a week and a half ago by a couple points. So that one could go either way. So.
Well, I know you guys aren't looking beyond Friday, but the winner of your game would play either Sioux City East or Des Moines Roosevelt in the sub-state final on Tuesday. Do you have any thoughts on who will win that matchup?
Well, I think, Sioux City East has got some athletic long kids in the front line, and they got a guard that's really quick. But I think Roosevelt is athletic and matches up with them really, really well. So, that wouldn't surprise me if that game went down to the wire. So, yeah. So I, you know, there could be, you called them upsets. I don't even know if I'd consider them to be upsets, because I think there's about 12 to 16 teams that could get to the state tournament.
Well, if you guys are able to win on Friday, I don't know if you would call that an upset or not. I think I would call it an upset.
That would be an upset.
But you know you'll be on the road again Tuesday, because this is the first year that the highest remaining seed will host the sub-state final. You know, that could obviously work, you know, against you guys. But do you think that change was a good one by the IHSAA?
Yes. Yeah, so, like, you know, it was discussed by them the last couple years. And we thought it was actually going to happen last year. But then it didn't, for whatever reason. Now I know that at the 1A and 2A levels, they're at neutral sites. And I can't remember if 3A, when it gets to the final, it's on a neutral site. And the reason they do that is the smaller schools, they don't have the capacity in their gyms. So I see that there's a doubleheader at Drake on Saturday at like 3 and 5.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's it's Ankeny Christian against Madrid.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I think it's a 2A game. So that's sort of neat that they get to play in that kind of venue. And
oh yeah.
And I know that it's been a point of discussion too about the years where, you know, there's a doubleheader in Cedar Rapids at the I still call it the USL Center, and people are like, hold on, that's an unfair advantage because they get to play in a bigger arena and we're playing in a high school gym, and then you go to Wells Fargo. But, you know, and I'm dating myself, but I can remember the years that we played sub-state finals at Vets Auditorium. So,
well, I know Ankeny played a game at the Knapp Center way back in the day in a sub-state, I think.
Did they?
Yeah, I think when Pete was coaching, I think there was one year they played there.
Well, I know my senior year, we played our sub-state final at the Vets Auditorium. So.
Well, Bob, before I let you go, I just wanted to talk about the award that you received recently. I know you don't like to talk about it, but you're named the Iowa recipient of the John Wooden Legacy Coach of the Year Award. Now, you kind of grew up during UCLA's dominant run under Wooden, you know, so I'm sure you're pretty familiar with all that he accomplished in his career. You know, you had to be pretty humbled by getting that award.
Well, first of all, I was very surprised, and I told the guy that contacted me, I said, I don't know. I said, what is this? I said, the only Wooden Award I know goes to the best college basketball player in the country. And he just said when John Wooden passed away that his family wanted to create a foundation and partner with the National High School Basketball Coaches Association and have a coach in each state recognized through their association. And so he explained all that to me, and I said, so what's the criteria? And there were, you know, five criteria, and one was like service, you know, to your, not only your program, your school, but your community, leadership in your program and in your school. And then there was a thing about character and the way you go about teaching the game. Excuse me. And then another one was your excellence on the court over the years. And they said, excuse me, Dan.
You're right.
Let me get a drink here real quick.
You're good.
And then they said they looked at the 16 years I was at Cedar Rapids Kennedy and then the 12 years I've been here at Centennial. So, but I was very, very surprised, very humbled and honored to be chosen, because I know there's a lot of guys in our state that are very, you know, deserving and worthy of that award.
Well, I know you told me that you didn't even tell your family, your players right away. And I don't know if you hid the news from them clear up until the time you got the award, but were they a little surprised too when you got the award?
Well, when I was called, I didn't say anything to anybody. And I told the guy, I got a hold of him. And then the guy that actually came 3 or 4 hours away. And I told those two, and I told our AD, I said, hey, I don't want to do this at a game. I don't want the distraction. I said, these guys, one of them's going to be at the state tournament. They're going to be at the high school all-star game. Can't they just hand me whatever? And they said, no, we've already arranged it. So anyway, it was about a week and a half before the game, because they contacted me the first week of January, I think it was. And then Nate asked me if I had said anything to my family. And I said, no, not yet. And so I told my wife, and then she goes, we better tell the kids. So I told them 3 or 4 days later. I'm talking about my own two kids.
Right.
And then it was a few days before. It was maybe up the Friday before that Tuesday game. Nate said, hey, have you let your coaches know? And I go, no. And so I told our coaches the day before the game, and I never did tell the players. So.
Well, they're as surprised as I was then, because I was sitting there after the girls' game. I was taking some notes. I was getting ready to go talk to Coach DeYoung, and then you know they started making the announcement. I said, "Well, what's going on here?" Well, that was pretty cool, though.
Well, yeah, it's, like I said, I don't want it to be a distraction, because it's not about that. It's about the kids and the game. So, yeah.
Well, a great award for you, Bob. Very well deserving. So,
thank you.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Good luck on Friday night, and we'll talk to you after the game.
All right, thank you, Dan.
You
appreciate
bet.
All you do.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for an unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in here tonight. We had Ankeny Boys basketball coach Brant Carlson and Ankeny Centennial coach Bob Fontana. We also had a surprise visit from Centennial senior Sean Tunks. I knew there was a possibility that he might be on the podcast, but I wasn't quite sure, but I'm glad he was able to come downstairs here from his place here where he lives in the Standard. Enjoyed talking to Sean as well. So I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And good luck to both teams on Friday night in the sub-state finals. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I'm not sure if we'll be focusing on the boys or girls basketball. It kind of depends on how the tournament games go. Of course, the Centennial girls will be in action on Monday in the state tournament after they won their game last night. So we'll see how things go and go from there. But come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.